Hi, welcome back to Joe Blogs. This video is the next in a series looking at the financial implications of Russia's invasion of Ukraine on the global economy. And in today's episode, I want to give you an update on Sri Lanka. If you've been following the channel, you'll know that we've been documenting what's been going on in Sri Lanka. And in the most recent video, we talked about the fact that the country was running out of fuel and that the protests against the government were now starting to get violent. And unfortunately, a number of people have been killed, including one of the MPs during an altercation with an angry mob. So today I want to provide an update because Sri Lanka has now officially defaulted on its debt. So we'll have a look at exactly what the situation is and what that means for the country right now. The Prime Minister has come out and stated that there is a food crisis going on in Sri Lanka and that they urgently need some funding. So we'll talk about exactly what's going on and what the process is for getting money into Sri Lanka. So they're talking to a number of different parties about providing some funding to bail them out, but they need that to be done very quickly. And in the last video, we talked about the IMF and the process that they have, which is quite slow and drawn out. And Sri Lanka just don't have the time to be able to wait for all of this paperwork to be processed. They need money really quickly. So we'll go through all of the options and talk about what the likely outcome is. And then finally today, I'll wrap up with my summary as to what I think is going to happen in Sri Lanka and what the implications of this are for the rest of the world. Because what we're seeing right now in Sri Lanka is likely to happen in a variety of other countries around the world. Sri Lanka is the front runner in this race, but unfortunately there's going to be a lot of other participants who are going to be joining in. So we'll go through some of that and I'll talk about what I think is likely to happen over the course of 2022. So before we get into all of that, if I could ask you to give me a thumbs up at some point during this video, if you're enjoying the content, and also to subscribe if you haven't done so already. I'm trying a push to get towards 100,000 subscribers. So if you're a regular viewer and you haven't subscribed yet, please hit that subscribe button because it would be great to get there because YouTube sends you one of these official play buttons and I'd really like one of those. And if you'd like to support the channel, please have a look in the description below where you'll find links to Buy Me a Coffee, Patreon and YouTube Super Thanks feature. Sri Lanka's total debt obligations are more than $50 billion, and their outstanding amounts have increased dramatically over the last 10 years. This chart shows the breakdown of Sri Lanka's debt. Around 50% of all borrowings have come from the international markets. 19% has come from agencies that are set up to help develop infrastructure in developing countries, with 10% of that money coming from the Asian Development Bank and 9% from the World Bank. And Sri Lanka has taken direct development loans from China, Japan, and India. As with any debt obligations, there is an ongoing requirement to pay interest on that debt or coupons on the bond. And Sri Lanka is due to pay $7 billion across the whole of 2022. On the 18th of April, two coupon payments were due, totaling $75 million, and Sri Lanka did not have the capital to be able to make those payments. Now, as with most international bonds, the terms and conditions stated that Sri Lanka had a 30-day grace period to find that money and make the payments. That grace period expired on the 18th of May and no payments were made, so Sri Lanka has now officially defaulted on its international debt. And the way that international debt is structured, the terms and conditions have cross-default clauses. So that means that if you default on one of your bonds, then all of the other bonds and debt obligations have the right to also claim a default. Because if you're a lender in a bond that isn't due for repayment for another year or two, you don't want to have to sit waiting for that time to run out before you can take any action, because that would mean that you would lose money and the other bondholders would have a preferential claim. So that's why cross-default clauses exist. It gives everybody the chance to be able to claim their money at the same time, and therefore all parties come to the table to negotiate a settlement. That's the way international debt is usually structured. So the fact that Sri Lanka has missed a $75 million payment is actually a lot more serious than it sounds, because it means that potentially now all of its $50 billion plus of debt could become due for repayment. Now, clearly, there's no point right now of any of those debt holders taking any form of aggressive action against Sri Lanka, because the country is completely bankrupt. It doesn't have any money. So there is absolutely no reason why any of these agencies or countries would look to accelerate the debt, because it's just going to get them nowhere. And also, from a political point of view, it would be very bad PR to try and take some aggressive action right now to recoup your money when Sri Lanka clearly needs a bailout. It needs more support. It needs more money, more debt, rather than somebody turning up saying, we want our money back. So that might lead you to ask the question of what's the point of having a debt default? If you're not going to take any action, then it's absolutely irrelevant. It's just pointless. And to a certain extent, that's correct, because the people who've provided money to Sri Lanka are never going to get it back. You know, it's not possible for Sri Lanka to be able to find $50 billion to be able to repay any of the parties that it owns. In fact, it needs more money to be able to rebuild itself. So in reality, what we're looking at here is a situation where Sri Lanka now has no creditworthiness. So everybody knows that it's impossible for it to be able to meet its debt obligations. So what Sri Lanka needs now is some charity debt. It needs one of the international agencies to put forward some money on a bailout basis that's provided on very soft terms, either very low rates of interest or no interest at all. And of course, the other option is that Sri Lanka receives more investment funds from countries like India and China. But the question on that sort of funding is what terms and conditions are attached to it. But I'll come on to discuss the bailout options in more detail later in this video. The ongoing fuel crisis in Sri Lanka is getting worse and has brought the country to a grinding halt. A lot of the businesses in Sri Lanka rely upon gasoline, and the country is now almost completely out. The number of vehicles on the road is very limited, and there are reports now that schools have been shut and local governments have told all of their workers to remain at home because they don't want people trying to travel backwards and forwards to work. But fuel in Sri Lanka is not just essential for travel, it's also used for cooking purposes. And there are now reports of people queuing for 2 or 3 days to buy gas cylinders to be able to cook, but the stores simply don't have enough supplies and people are running out of kerosene oil to be able to cook any food. In addition to cooking, fuel is also needed to create electricity on the island, and there are now prolonged periods of blackouts. Sri Lanka is an island and a net importer of food. And the new Prime Minister of the country has come out and talked about the food crisis. Sri Lanka urgently needs cash to be able to pay for food imports in the short term. But the Prime Minister is now talking about the impact of the chemical fertiliser ban that was brought in May 2021 on future yields and production. As we discussed in a previous video, the President of Sri Lanka decided in May 21 to ban the import of all chemical fertilisers, and that led to an absolute disaster in the homegrown food market for Sri Lanka, with yields significantly down against previous crops. Now, the problem that Sri Lanka faces is that international price of fertilisers has gone up dramatically since the start of the Ukraine war. The vast majority of fertilisers used around the world are nitrogen-based, and that nitrogen is derived from natural gas. And the price of natural gas has gone up significantly because of the fact that Russia is one of the biggest suppliers of natural gas to Europe, and we've now got all of the sanctions in place, and there is a scramble for all liquefied natural gas supplies. So the timing of these price rises couldn't have come at a worse possible point for Sri Lanka, because they urgently need large amounts of fertiliser to be able to get all of their crop developments back on track. And the Prime Minister of Sri Lanka has now come out and stated that they won't be able to import any fertiliser for the Yala season. Sri Lanka runs 2 growing seasons. The Yala season runs from May until August, and the Maha season follows on from September to March. And the Prime Minister has now stated that it's likely that Sri Lanka is going to face its worst possible food crisis in August of this year. So it's already facing a food crisis now, an immediate problem. But the issue is that they know that they don't have any fertilizer to improve the yields of all of their homegrown crops. So that means that come August, when they were due to harvest all of those crops, they know that they will have significantly less food. Therefore, they need to import even more. So there's a building food crisis in Sri Lanka. They've got an immediate problem, but they know that it's going to get worse over the next 4 or 5 months. In terms of the immediate funding options for Sri Lanka, they are talking to a variety of different parties. It's been reported that the World Bank, which is funded by around 189 different countries around the world, have provided emergency funding of $160 million, which Sri Lanka has said that it will use to buy fuel and food. But unfortunately, that's nowhere near enough to keep the country moving forward. And it's reported that they need anywhere between $4 billion and $7 billion worth of debt immediately. The usual funder of last resort for this sort of situation is the IMF, the International Monetary Fund, which again is another agency that's funded by a variety of countries around the world. And the IMF has been in discussion with Sri Lanka for some time about putting this in place. But the problem that Sri Lanka has is that the IMF needs to make sure that there is a stable political environment in place and that taxes and other reforms have been introduced to make sure that Sri Lanka can work its way out of this position and get to a situation where it can fund itself. It doesn't have to keep taking more and more loans. And as we sit at the moment, the political situation in Sri Lanka is far from stable. We've got the president who's still in place. He got voted in 2019, introduced a variety of tax reforms and cuts, which led to the central bank running short of money and has put the country in this precarious situation. So he's become very unpopular. All of the cabinet of ministers resigned in April, so 26 ministers walked out, and eventually his own brother, who was the prime minister, also resigned. The new prime minister was appointed last week, and following on from that appointment, another 9 ministers have been reappointed to the cabinet. But the cabinet is still not full. They still don't have a finance minister, for example, and that's a really important position when you're in this sort of situation. So the IMF is wanting to see all of those roles filled, and it will also want to see a full programme of new tax reforms put into place. So it's likely that the IMF deal will take another 2 or 3 months, or possibly even longer, before that's agreed. So Sri Lanka needs some more short-term funding, and it's now talking to the G7. The G7, or the Group of Seven, as it's also referred to, is an organisation of the 7 most advanced economies in the world, as defined by themselves. In 1998, the G7 was actually changed to the G8 when Russia joined the party, but unfortunately, after the invasion of Crimea in 2014, Russia was expelled and it reverted back to being the G7. Despite being the 2nd largest economy in the world and having the largest population, China has never been invited to join the G7 as it's not seen as advanced enough. And the G7 has now come out and made a statement about Sri Lanka. They've stated that they're committed to finding long-term solutions for Sri Lanka and urged it to negotiate constructively with the International Monetary Fund on a potential loan programme. They also called on other big creditor nations and urged them to provide debt relief on comparable terms, and singled out China to actively contribute to debt relief for countries such as Sri Lanka. So overall, a pretty disappointing response from the G7. These are the 7 most advanced economies, as they've decided themselves to be called, and they've decided to call out other parties and tell them to sort out the situation in Sri Lanka. I would have thought it was easier for these guys to actually make a decision themselves and put some money in directly at a time when it's most needed by Sri Lanka. But unfortunately, the G7 have decided not to do that and are not offering any form of direct solution for the country. So with the IMF deal likely to take a number of months to document and agree, it's likely that Sri Lanka is going to need some direct help from India and China. India has already provided a lot of credit lines, so it's basically been providing fuel and food supplies on credit so far, and it looks like Sri Lanka is going to need those credit lines extended over the next couple of months. China have also been in discussions with the president with regards to providing credit facilities. But of course, the big question with regards to taking credit lines from India and China is what will that cost the country eventually? So what's the summary and conclusion today? Well, clearly the situation in Sri Lanka is dire right now and it's getting worse. They need some money urgently to be able to just keep the lights on and keep the population fed. It's very, very basic humanitarian issues that we're looking at right now. And the fact that they've defaulted on the debt looks like it's irrelevant at this point in time from the bigger picture perspective. However, it is relevant going forward because this now means that Sri Lanka is completely written off in terms of its credit worthiness. So it won't be able to raise any more money in the international markets for quite some considerable time. In fact, it's going to have to restructure and renegotiate the existing $50 billion of debt that's already out there. So it's got that debt burden, and it's likely that it's going to take on more debt as part of all of these emergency measures. So it's out of options going forward, and that puts Sri Lanka in quite a precarious situation. It doesn't really have many options available to it right now. The IMF deal that's being discussed, I'm sure that will be agreed at some point, but that will just be added to the $50 billion of debt. Going forward, in order to rebuild itself, Sri Lanka is going to need partnerships. It's going to need investment. And the international community won't be looking to make any more investment because of the lack of creditworthiness. So the only realistic choices that Sri Lanka has in the future are to take the money from India or China. And there are political implications on both of those arrangements. I've talked about it before, but the Chinese currently have a 99-year lease over Hambantota Port, which was an infrastructure development program that went wrong in Sri Lanka. And because it went so wrong, the Sri Lankan authorities had to give over control of that port to China. And there is a risk going forward that China could use that for a variety of different alternatives, including a possible military base. So there is a real risk here that Sri Lanka may start losing some of its sovereignty because it needs money from these two friendly nations. It could end up giving away some of its land, some of its control, some of its ownership in order to get things done. And that really shows the political risks that all of these developing countries around the world are now facing. What's going on in Ukraine right now has caused the price of oil and fuel and commodities to spike. And it's likely that we're going to see the levels stay at those elevated points for some time, probably the whole of 2022, maybe even into 2023. So that's going to break a lot of economies around the world. We've got countries that were already at the point where they couldn't afford any more imports because of what's been going on with COVID and all of the devastation from that side of things. And this spike in prices is really forcing a lot of those countries into bankruptcy. And if you get into a bankrupt situation, whether you're an individual or a company or a country, then you're at the mercy of your creditors and they can decide what terms and conditions they want to impose upon you. And that's the problem that we've got for a lot of countries. Sri Lanka is the first example. They are now out of options. And so they need somebody to be able to help them going forward. And it's likely that there will be political implications attaching to that help. And it's going to be likely that we see this situation in a lot of other countries around the world. This is an opportunity for some of the stronger nations to flex their political muscle and to get involved with some of these countries. And of course, there are raw materials and natural resources at play here. So in Sri Lanka, there's not a lot of resources, but there are a lot of people and there is land and there are ports. And Sri Lanka is located in an interesting situation in terms of the trade routes from China. That's one of the reasons why China is interested. And of course, geographically, it's located very close to India, which is why India is also interested. And if you look at the map of all of the poorest countries in the world, a lot of them have some form of geographical influence or some form of attraction to the bigger countries. So it will be very interesting over the next 6 to 9 to 12 months to see which of the countries start to go bankrupt and who gets involved and who can see some form of political merit in having an influence over that country and its situation. And that's really the takeaway from this video that I want to leave with you. We've been talking a lot about the financial implications and the global economy and people not getting repaid and what happens when there's a debt spiral and the chances of a global recession. And I think the chances of a global recession are extremely high for 2022 and 2023. But one of the other issues here are the political changes that we're seeing. And the impact of this war in Ukraine is not just restricted to just Russia and Ukraine. This is having an effect on every country around the world. And we may see huge changes in political influence and control as a direct result of this war, not just over Ukraine, but over other countries that are thousands of miles away from Ukraine, such as Sri Lanka. So hopefully you found this video useful, informative and educational. If you've liked what I've said today, then please give me a thumbs up and don't forget to subscribe if you haven't done so already. Hey guys, just a very, very quick update on Joe Blogs 2. YouTube have now confirmed that we have over 4,000 watch hours. Hooray! Thank you very, very much to everybody who contributed. I know those videos were not particularly exciting. There's some old stuff on there that I did a long time ago. A little bit embarrassing, some of those. But thank you for watching them, whether you actually watched them or whether you just ran them on your phone or on your desktop or whatever. Thank you for doing that, because it's now put us in the position where I can apply for the monetization. That's likely to take 2 or 3 weeks. Google are pretty slow. They like to drag their heels because they don't want to give money away to people. So it's likely to be sometime in June before we get that sign off. And then we are ready to go live. We're ready for this experiment. So if you're thinking about making a video, or maybe you've started making it, or you've already filmed it, but you haven't done any editing, now's the time to get focused and start thinking about what you want to do, how you're going to market it, because you need a thumbnail that explains to people what your video is about and entices them in to watch it. And then you need to have a structure to that video, make sure there's a start, a middle, and an end, that there's some form of nice story arc that moves across it. And if you're doing more than one video, then maybe you're linking videos. You're doing part one, part two, part three, or it's a series of videos about different things, something like that. Start thinking about what you watch on YouTube, why you watch it, what you're drawn into. When you see something new that you've never watched before on YouTube, what catches your eye? What caused you to look at that video? And then try to apply those sort of ideas to how you're going to market your video, how you're going to catch somebody's eye and entice them to come and watch your video. So I'll do some videos at some point over the next month or so explaining how to make a video, what sort of equipment you should be using, all of those sort of issues, some of the more practical side of things. But from the creative side, that's entirely down to you. You need to decide what you want to make your video about, how you want to present it, and how you're going to film it. So it's time to start getting onto that now, because once we get the monetization, it would be great to start getting these videos posted on a regular basis. So once again, thank you very much for helping with this experiment. Thank you for watching this part of the video, and thank you for watching this whole video all the way through to the end.